Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour, ready to get back in our Father's Word. Now, in this, we're going to pick it up with the 46th chapter today. We're going to have our Father talk, I would rather translate it concerning the nations. That means all nations other than Israel, okay? Now, King James people translated it, I'm against the Gentiles, okay? But it should be, the word Gentile and nations is the same word in Hebrew. And in the plural, now, not singular nation. When you utilize singular nation, it can apply to Israel. But where it's plural, never, okay? This is his thoughts concerning the nations. And you want to kind of look around yourself today because you can pick up on some of the signs and benchmarks concerning the nations, how God feels about it, and so forth. So, chapter 46, verse 1, let's go with it. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah the prophet, against the Gentiles. And again, I want to say concerning the nations so that you can look at them today. And this is what God has to say about it. Verse 2, against Egypt, or concerning Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho. This is to say, lame, and that, so he was, the king that was lame, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which is to say, fortress of the subduer, which Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to pronounce it correctly, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. This is when it happened. And this is referring back again to a time prior. But this is how he feels. But always remember, in one of the prophets, he said, Egypt will always be a base nation. And so it is. It's continued down through all of history. We've still got Egypt. We have some nations today that didn't exist. You know, our own nation, a little over 200 years ago, didn't exist, the United States of America. But she does today, and God's in charge. But Egypt has always been a nation, but Israel always kind of wanted to lean on Egypt instead of God. And God naturally, he didn't appreciate that, but he didn't blame Egypt for it. He blamed his own people. So he gives you the time sequence. Verse 3, order ye the buckler and the shield and draw near to battle. 4, harness the horses and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furbish the spears and put on the brigandine. This is to say, the coats of mail. We're gonna do a little just about here. 5. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace, and look not back, for fear was round about, saith the Lord. They ran. They sold out, and they took that old escape route. And the terror was in their eyes. Okay. Verse 6. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Now we have the river Euphrates has always been the boundary between Israel and Babylon. And even to this day, so it is. And this is even where the Hebrews pick up their name from the Euphrates, because when they crossed over that river, they were called Eber from that prime, meaning the people that crossed that river, the Euphrates, and therefore they were called Hebrews, which simply means the people that came across the river. We see today what is happening, you know, naturally. The Euphrates runs right through Babylon, basically, which today is Iraq, as it comes from the north, the Tigris, and so forth. About 60, I'm going by memory now, the old city of Babylon is about 67 miles south of Baghdad today, okay? Verse 7. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? The rivers, that old Nile, where she flooded down every year and brought fertilizer to the valley and made it ever so productive. Verse 8, Egypt rises up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. You know, you look back in history a little bit, and you remember Nasser? We had some pretty good skirmishes along about that time when we set benchmarks, even in this generation, of the fig tree. And we can see where Egypt put forth some pretty good battles, okay, as well as some of the other nations. Verse 9. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth. The Ethiopians, that's just, and the Lydians, these are the mercenaries that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. Get all your mercenaries together. Verse 10, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance. Now, this is yet future. You just made a pretty good jump here, prophetically speaking. Do I have to tell you what the Lord's day is? How long is one day with the Lord? It's 1,000 years. We're talking about the millennium. And this prophecy switches instantly to the millennium and the Lord's day and the day of vengeance when God himself takes vengeance. When the nations kind of shake and rattle and rot and roll at each other, Jerusalem is surrounded. And then we have this day of vengeance of God. He's had it, okay? That he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated, that is to say, saturated, and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country, by the river Euphrates. In other words, it's going to be dried up. And what is the Lord's sword, or the sword of the Lord? You know what it is. You've read of it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. It's Christ's word, the two-edged sword that cuts both ways. Verse 11, go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. That's a healing balm. It'll heal you. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. In other words, we know that in Daniel chapter 11, the king of the north and the king of the south, that Egypt has a part in this, and as well as Iraq and Iran. And one of the types, not too many years ago, I mentioned Saddam, was the Shah of Iran. And don't ever forget, he still has a son that's around today. Plus you have many Mujahideen that are around today, young people from Iran that are not happy with the situation, okay? So medicine, there's always been a medicine. It's from our Father when you lean on him instead of people, trusting on man and warriors to do your cleansing for you instead of Almighty God. Verse 12, the nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land, for the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. they've bumped against, fall against each other. Again, I'm going to pull back to 17:5. What does it say? Cursed be the man that trusts in man or nations instead of God. You're not going to be blessed, nor will they be blessed. Doesn't matter, and you must keep this in mind going all the way to the Lord's day. How many nations will there be after the Lord's day? Only one. There will still be attempts at the end of the millennium, the Lord's day, to set up another. It will not work. Satan's going into the pit. I mean, the lake of fire. At the end, out of the pit and straight into the lake of fire. But how many nations are there? One. One King of kings and one Lord of lords. That's it. Okay. Father always wanted to be our King, and he's going to be. And there will be no other. I don't care what your race, your color, your creed, or anything else. On the Lord's day, it means exactly that. He's it. It's his day. It's his day of vengeance. When he comes as King of kings and Lord of lords, and subdues and takes all crowns, melts them into one, and a figure of speech, and he wears it. That day is coming. That is the Lord's day, and that's what we all work forward to. That's why God has election, people that know and understand his word and are prepared for that time. Verse 13, the word that the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, spelled Rezahil, but I'm going to pronounce it properly, okay? King of Babylon should come and smite the land of Egypt. And again, I told you, you won't find historically necessarily, but Antiquities and Josephus, chapter Antiquities 10, verses 9 and 10. 14, declare ye in Egypt and publish in Migdol, and publish in Nopha, and in Tapanhes, say ye, stand fast, and prepare thee, for the sword shall devour round about thee. And naturally it will. On that Lord's day, you want to be prepared. Truth always prevails. 15, why are thy valiant men swept away? They're chargers, but they're just gone. They stood not because the Lord did drive them. Don't ever go against the Lord. That's just a little reminder that you might make a mental note. Whose side do you want to be on? Do you want to be trying to get along yourself and make things up to please you, have your little self plan of salvation? Or do you want to be with the Father, with the family, as it is written, the letter he has sent to us to know and to understand? Be on the Lord's side and be one that does the driving, not receives it. 16. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another, and they said, arise and let us go again to our people and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. And again, there's that oppressing sword, and as it was, you know. In Daniel 11 and 12, we see, 11 specifically, we see Sadat, or that is to say a strong type there for his own sons, that is to say in the military, took his life. And things that people always, let's let it go back as it was, as it used to be. You better think about returning to the Father, not to old time sakes, not to just the way the memory plays tricks sometimes, but to do it God's way, by God's plan. Verse 17, they did cry there, Pharaoh king of Egypt is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. In other words, there is a set time. And when that time comes, so it is. again, God, you want to remember prophecy. God promised that Egypt would always be a base nation. That means not a superpower, just a nation. And so it is. Verse 18, as I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains, and as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. Who is he? The king of Babylon. And you can rest assured, just as sure as you believe in Almighty God, that on the Lord's day, the king of Babylon shall come. That is to say, prior to it, sixth trump, not the seventh. He's going to come. God has promised it. And as he said, just as sure as these other things happen, as the mountains are there, so will the king of Babylon come. You can count on it. Quite frankly, you better be planning on it, because most of the world is going to be deceived at that time. You don't want to be. You want to be in the good graces of God. Verse 19, O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity. And you pack yourself to go into captivity. For Noph shall be waste and desolate without an inhabitant. It's going to happen. And you know, the Suez Canal was shut off for many years. We've had types down in Egypt for many, many years concerning that was shut off and that did happen. 20, Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh. It cometh out of the north. The figure of speech saying she's like a fair heifer, a heifer is very gentle to call. Not going to fight anybody. She's just so tame. They are easy to get along with. They're not strong warriors. And what he's saying here is there's no competition there, really, when it comes to really warring. They're gentle and a gentle people, so to speak. And, hey, check it out today, my friend. How many actual big battles do you see Egypt in? I mean, there's a lot of talk. And I'm not taking away from them. I'm just saying God's word is accurate. You can count on it. And so it is. Make a mental note of it. And that's as it is, like a gentle heifer. And verse 21. Also, her hired men, that's to say her mercenaries, those she hires to fight for, were in the midst of her like fatted bullocks, for they also are turned back. They're not going to make a stand, and are fled away together. They did not stand because the day of their calamity was come upon them in the time of their visitation. What time was that? The Lord's day. Hey, this is what the Father is saying concerning nations. It doesn't matter who you serve and what you serve. There's only one God. And you can call him whatever you want to. I know what he wants to be called, and I would advise that. Verse 22, the voice thereof shall go like a serpent. There you got it. For they shall march with an army and come against her with axes as hewers of wood. In other words, the old serpent is right in the middle of it, right in the very middle of it. And so it is for people. People will not recognize that serpent. As you know who he's going to be saying he is? Jesus. He's going to be saying he is the anointed one, Messiah, or Christ, which is Christos, the anointed one. 23, they shall cut down her forest, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers and are innumerable. Here you've got the locust army of Revelation 9 and of Joel chapter 2. God's warning you. And do you know who controls that locust army to a degree? God does. Giving you all the more power and strength to know you don't have anything to worry about. Well, who should worry then? People that are deceived. People that do not know the difference in the serpent's voice, the old dragon, the devil, than the Lord Jesus Christ. His word is the sword of the Lord. You don't want to get in the way of that. And many shall. The locust army shall come forth. And when they march through an area, they strip it bare. Verse 24. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. They will be confused. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. You ever read Daniel chapter 11? King of the north, king of the south. 25. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, Behold, I will punish the multitude of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods, here you come to the reason, and their kings, even Pharaoh, and all them that trust in him. Instead of who? Instead of trusting in our Father. You know, he is the Father of all, and God loves his children. And I guarantee you, those that worship other gods and that chase other fancies are going to be in a heap of hurt at this time. A heap of hurt. For the day of vengeance shall come, and the sword of the Lord is extremely, extremely sharp. What is it? Revelation chapter 1, verse 15, Christ's tongue is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. What is it? Truth. No one can, as long as you stick with truth, no one can come against that. They may try, but it's very easy if someone goes against the word of God to prove them a liar, a false teacher. That's why it's important that you teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that it is Almighty God that speaks, that warns. And he's giving the warnings here concerning the end times, the Lord's Day, the day of vengeance, the day of visitation. And it's concerning Egypt and some of her mercenaries and some of her allies. All them that trust in him. You want to trust in God, not man. Verse 26. And I will, not maybe, I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants. And afterward it shall be inhabited, and in the day, as in the days of old, saith the Lord. In other words, our Father is totally in control. What are you supposed to do concerning the king of Babylon? I mean, and even the Kenites that are very rich and engrossed with his dealings. That is to say, Satan, their father. The tares naturally want to promote those lies, and they want people to worship their father, not yours. And it's going to be inhabited and taken over by those that do know the truth, God's elect, and those that do follow. But why are we to be delivered up before the king of Babylon? So the Holy Spirit can speak through us, as it is written in Mark 13, and you're a conqueror. You're not captive. You're only captive by Almighty God. He is protecting you. And as it is written in Luke 21, as the Holy Spirit, they say, first of all, in Luke 21, not one hair of your head can be touched. And the very words that come from your mouth, because it is the sword of the Lord, as the Holy Spirit speaks through you. Luke 21, read it for yourself. Even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say. That's scripture. I believe it. Why? Because it's not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit. That day is coming, my friend. Trust him, not man. Trust in Almighty God. Trust in our Father. Verse 27. But fear not thou. You don't have a thing to worry about. O my servant Jacob. That's all of the natural seed. And be not dismayed. Don't be confused, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar off. I won't necessarily be there, but spiritually I will save you. And thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Right? You don't have to worry. You're in the wilderness of God, and God protecting. All through the roughest combat, spiritually speaking, with the serpent, with the old dragon, with Satan, with the Antichrist, God has you under his wing of protection. And he utilizes you to put all of his enemies under his footstool. Now, some of you have known there was more to God's word than you'd been taught. You've known it since you were a child. It could be that you have a purpose and a destiny. You don't have anything to be afraid of. You're a child of God and you know it. And you're not confused or misled by false teachings. You know the word of God. Why? You have it in your hand. A child can understand it. Verse 28. Fear thou not.